First Samuel, the 7th chapter, the 9th through the 14th verses. Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and routed them, King James says, discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of the border of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath, and their borders did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Will you just ask God to bless the ministry of His Word this morning? Will you just pray right out loud? Father God, I pray right now, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, that You will have Your way and anoint Thy servant and Thy messenger with a live coal from off the altar. Gather our thoughts together, O God, and let us be conscious of the operation and the hand of the Holy Spirit in this church house this morning. And we'll thank You and praise You for it. For Your name's sake, we ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, for 20 years, the Ark of the Covenant had been in the house of Abinadab, and it looked like the hand of God's blessing had greatly lifted and raised from the people Israel. 20 years is not a long time if you say it quickly. But it's a long time. The Word says, and it came to pass that the Ark of the Covenant stayed in the house of Abinadab for quite a while. But I don't feel I have to remind you as children of God today that God is still on the throne and God is still in control and God is still the master of the entirety of this universe. I have a tendency to want God to answer my prayers, bango, zingo, pop. I get myself in a bind, or I feel a need or a certain desire, and I want God to do it yesterday. There's one of these little humorous placards that are quite prevalent in various business establishments, particularly those that receive and fulfill orders. And there's these little ghost-like characters, and it shows them hilariously laughing and slapping their foot or slapping their thigh. And they're just laughing, carrying on. They said, "You wanted it when?" And they're carrying on, you know. Because most of us, we want God to answer our prayer like right now. We want to say, "If I be a man of God, let fire fall from heaven, zip, and have the lightning bolt discharged from the hand of God and burn up our enemies like right now." We like that prayer. We like that scripture. "I will answer while you are yet asking." And then we like it even better when God begins to answer before we even ask. Oh, we like that. But we don't like to be reminded that sometimes you can pray for 20 years, and it seems like the ark is hidden away in the house of Abinadab, and that Israel was under the heel of the Philistine oppressor and under the heel of the Amorite for 20 years. That's even with a mighty man of God like Samuel that was there as the judge of all Israel and praying down the fire and praying down the blessing and having the power of God. And in spite of a man full of the Holy Ghost like Brother Samuel, Israel was oppressed for 20 years. But thank God, God had not lost their number, and God was setting the stage, and God was still in control. And when he finally got Israel to the place that they lamented after the God of Israel, and some of us, like my uncle H.B. Garlock, has often said, some of us unfortunately are like pigs. The only time we look up is when we're flat on our back. The rest of the time we're rooting around in the wallow and the muck of the pig pen. Root hog or die, you know. Some of us were looking down and looking at earthly things and looking at the swill trough and looking and looking and looking at the things of the natural, and the only time we lift up our eyes is when God puts us flat on our back. And Israel, figuratively, was flat on their back. They were under the heel of the oppressor, but that did not mean that God had gone off. God was bringing them into a condition where they could really begin to pray and cry out in the name of the Lord. And they began to pray, the Bible says, and they lamented after the God of Israel, and God heard them. And they sent word unto Samuel, and Samuel saw that they really were earnest and desirous of turning their hearts back to God again, and turning their ways back into the ways of their fathers who had instructed them in the pathways of righteousness. And so he sent word throughout all Israel and said, if you're really sincere and you really mean business and you're not playing games, then I want every one of you to gather yourselves together up unto Mizpah, and we're going to have us a camp meeting. Glory to God. And so all Israel, the Bible says, all Israel gathered together up unto Mizpah. And the minute the Philistines heard about it, they didn't quake in their boots and turn around and run and say, oh, it looks like Israel is really praying through, so we want to run for our lives. That's what they should have done, but they didn't. And brother, sister, the minute you begin to turn towards God, and the minute you begin to lament after God, and the minute you really begin to mean business with God, don't think for a second that the devil's going to turn tail and run and leave you entirely alone. The minute you begin to say, oh God, I mean business, and I want my heart turned back to God, then the devil's going to come and fight you as hard as ever. And the Philistines came up and encamped against Israel as they were up against Mizpah. And then the Israelites got afraid. And they said, we see this mighty host of the Philistines coming with all their armor and their chariots and all of their pernicious and vicious ways. And so they sent unto Samuel and said, will you please pray unto God that he might hear for you, for us? And Samuel said, don't you get excited or upset the least little bit. He said, I'm going to call out to God, and I believe he's going to hear me. Ah, hallelujah. And the Bible says, and Samuel made a prayer unto God for Israel, and God heard him. Now, if you look in your margin, that word heard him has a stronger implication than just what we mean when we ordinarily say, and he heard him. Sometimes my wife talks to me and says, do you hear me? And I says, yes. But that doesn't mean I'm going to do what she wants me to do, or I'm going to pay any attention to what she's saying. That just means I hear her. Sometimes we feel that God hears us, but he's not going to answer. But the implication in the original language is, he not only heard him, he answered them. Oh, thank God, he not only hears us, he's got an answer for us. Hallelujah. I said, he not only hears us and sees it, but he's got an answer. Hallelujah. He answered them. And he took a little suckling lamb, without spot or blemish, I presume. The Bible doesn't say that, but it does say it was a suckling lamb, a little tiny one, innocent. And he offered it as a burnt offering and as a sacrifice unto God. And even while he was offering, even as he was offering the sacrifice unto the living God, God came down and fought for Israel. And the Bible says he discomfited them. That's an old English expression that means he put them to flight. He routed them. I mean, they dropped their helmet, they dropped their sword, they dropped their armor, and they ran for their life. Cleared down over away from Mizpah, and cleared down under Bethkar, 28 miles away. And the children of Israel took heart and said, our enemies do flee from us. We're not going to make peaceful coexistence or send to the UN and let the Security Council make a ceasefire. We're going to grab the sword and we're going to cut their heads off and hew them down. And we're going to put them to death. And my brother, there is no peaceful coexistence between the heart of the child of God and the enemy of our souls. We are not here to make peace with the enemy. We are here to defeat him with the sword of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost and utterly defeat our enemies and grind them unto our feet until we can tread on the lion and slay the dragon and even tread on the adder. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. Hallelujah! He discomfited them. Let me tell you, when God discomfits them, they're discomfited. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We might try to make the devil run, and the devil laughs at us. Say, who are you? Say, well, I'm here in the name of Jesus, or I'm here in the name of Paul. Say, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but you we don't know. And the devil's jumped on him and beat him up, and the last we see him, they're running down the street with their shirt tail all torn. Amen. Seven sons of Sceva. Let me tell you, my brother, sister, it takes more than stamping your foot and yelling at the devil. You got to have some power. But when you've made the sacrifice, when you've been to Calvary, when you're covered with the blood, when you have lamented after Israel, when you honest to God clean up and mean business with God, regardless of the past, let me tell you, there is victory in the name of Jesus. Even at the very moment that the sacrifice was being offered, God came down and fought for Israel against the Philistines and discomfited them and routed them. And then the Israelites didn't stand around saying, oh, wasn't that wonderful? And well, the poor devil, and we need to really feel sorry for him. No, sir, brother, they chased him clear down under Beth Kar and whacked his head off. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. Amen! And that's the way God wants us to do. Glory to Jesus. Chase him clear down under Beth Kar, or K Kar, or any of the rest of the cars. Amen. Just chase him clear down there. Glory to God. And then I come to my text. And then Samuel took a stone, a monument, and he raised it up. He set it up halfway between Mizpah and Shen, a little wide spot in the road, 6-7 miles down the road. So about halfway in between, right in the central plain where the Israelites who had been encamped over against Mizpah for the sake of the spiritual camp meeting, and they had gone out to meet and fight against the Philistines, and they were settled, filled with fear and sent word up the road 3 miles to Samuel, pray for us quick, the Philistines are upon us. And then God came down and fought for Israel against the Philistines, and they turned around and ran for another 25 miles, about 28 miles from Mizpah, clear over to Beth Kar, and about so halfway right there on the plain where God came down and discomfited the Philistines, Samuel, the prophet of God, raised up a memorial stone. He raised up a monument. He raised up a stone of memorial, and he called it Ebenezer. And that in the original language means a stone of help. A stone of help. And he called it that because he said, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Ebenezer! And the idea of raising up the memorial was that every Jew that ever walked down that path between Mizpah and Shen, and every little Jew girl, and every little Jew boy, and every little heathen, and every little camel driver of the Arabs that drove his camel caravan down I-25 right by Ebenezer, say, hey, what's that mean? So this is a historical monument. This is the place where God came down and fought for Israel against the Philistines. Get your chin up out of the mud and square your shoulders. Your God has not deserted you. Your God's still there. And the God that discomfited the Philistines is still on the throne. And he is still your God. And he is still able. Hallelujah. Ebenezer meant hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And I feel that there are people here in this congregation that can look back over the 52 weeks prior to this. And we can see that the battles that have been fought and that which has transpired. Now there are some of us or some of you that perhaps there have not been great continuous prolific victories. Maybe it's been kind of few and far between. Maybe it seems like the lady that testified and said, oh, the devil's been after me all week. Bless his sweet holy name. I love him so he's coming soon. And it may seem that you have been running ragged through the cockle burrs and corn. And it may seem that your garments are pretty well tattered today. And it may seem that your sandals are just about worn out from off your feet. And you've tried to get out the sword of the Word of God and it was pretty blunt. and you felt like maybe I did. I stood there with a 30-06 and saw an elephant, and I felt like I had a BB gun. That 30-06 was just a little pop gun against that great beast of the wild. And I wish that I'd have had a 450 Magnum or something else, or a cannon. I'd like to have had a 50-millimeter machine gun or something else. I had 30-06, felt like a little pop gun. I was afraid to pull the trigger. Talk about buck fever. But it wasn't because I didn't see the animal or I want to shoot him. It's because I was afraid that little splat of lead coming out of the end of that gun would not even penetrate the thickness of the skull. And with one mighty sweep of that trunk, he'd have sent me to heaven in a hurry. And I decided that I stood there frozen because of fear that the gun would not be able to accomplish the objective for which I intended it. And it may be that you feel that you've tried to take the sword of the Word of God and the devil comes up and you grab the precious promise out of the promise box, and instead of feeling like you have a sword, you feel like you got one of these little 79-cent penknives, and you're there with a little flimsy blade, and perhaps the victories have not been too prolific, and perhaps you can't just stand and say, my faith has just given me great victory. My brother, sister, the fact that you're sitting in the house of God on the last Sunday morning, and the fact that you're here, you can raise an Ebenezer to Almighty God and know that God has preserved you and kept you, and He surrounded you, and you are here. Don't give the devil any credit for the defeats and the failures and the disappointments and the discouragements and the disillusionments. If there was one prayer answered, if there was any inkling of the faith of the thing of God, if there was any flow of the fire of faith in the heart and the altar of your soul, you stand here in the presence of God today and say, I'll raise my Ebenezer hitherto, hath the Lord helped me. I can see far down the mountain where I wandered many years, often hindered in my journeys by the ghosts of doubts and fears, broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today. Glory to God! But there are others of us here in this congregation this morning that you have been raised from the very point of death. You have been raised from the point of financial chaos and ruin. I happen to know because I'm your pastor. That's how I know. Not any special gift of the Holy Ghost, because you had confidence in me and confided in me. And I know that some were on the verge of the dissolution of their marriage and their family was on the rocks. There are others that sin had well nigh swept your feet off the straight pathway. The old habits raised their ugly heads. The old desires, the old lust, the old uncleanness looked like it was coming in like a flood tide. But somehow it seemed to you by the skin of your teeth that you were able to hang on to the lifeline of the Word of God. And God pulled you through. And you may not be just riding on a white horse of victory today, but thank God you're still saved. And there's still a little touch of divine desire and faith in your heart. Brother, don't you let the devil defeat you. You get your Ebenezer and you stick it up and you say, hitherto hath the Lord helped me, and by His grace He'll carry me through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, one of the secrets of enjoying the real victory of God is to cut off the heads of the priests of Baal. Cut off the heads of the prophets of Baal. Amen. I want you to notice that when Elijah called down fire from heaven, he didn't pussyfoot around and say, well, now what we need to do is establish a detente and have a dialogue. He got his crew together and says, haul the whole bunch of them. 200 prophets and 250 priests, all 450 of them. That's the big sins and the little sins and the questionable things and the gray areas. Get them all down to the river and whack their heads off. Amen. And brother, sister, you hear Pastor Trotter today, there's never going to be real victory and there's never going to be real blessing until all compromise is totally washed away and wiped away and you become a 1,000% fanatic for Jesus Christ and you sell out for God 100%. Amen. Because if you give the devil an inch, he'll take a yard. You let the camel stick his nose in the tent, the first thing you know, you'll be back out in the world and the devil will be back in on the throne of your heart and life. The minute the devil knocks at the door, he may come as an angel of light wearing a tuxedo and smelling of Avon. But you just slam the door in his face and say, get thee hence, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The devil doesn't always have to come in with horns and a long forked tail and cloven feet. Sometimes he comes in as an angel of light and compromise, and you don't need to be so narrow-minded, and you don't need to be so hidebound and fanatical. For after all, wisdom does not perish from the earth when you die, and you don't have all the answers. Say, no, I may not have all of them, but I got one of them. I'm going to serve Jesus Christ with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, and I'm going to love him, and I'm going to give myself for him, and I'm going to sell out for him, and I'm going to let him be number one and number two and number three and number ten. Some people say, I'll put God first and let everything else follow after. God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. All the way from the Forum in Rome to the Acropolis in Athens, Greece, to the temple complex in Baalbek, Lebanon, and all of those areas, that had great meaning to the person from the Eastern world. We say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We say, put God first, and then these other things second, and third, and fourth, and fifth. No. The idea was that the head god, Zeus, or Apollo, or the head god, according to what religion or what group of people you were, his temple had the highest elevation. His temple was the highest. And then down before him, on succeeding declining steps of elevation, were the gods in their order of descending importance. There was the goddess Diana. There was the goddess Aphrodite. There was all of these sex gods and goddesses and all of the evil, until you got clear down to one of the lowest gods, way down in the bottom, was the god Bacchus, the god of wine and drunkenness. So it was in all of it. There was a god of the highest elevation, and then these other gods were in descending order of importance. And God said, thou shalt not do me that way. You say, well, I put God way up on the top. That's not enough. God says, I want you to put me on the top, and I want you to put a stick of plastic explosive under every other one of the temples and blow them completely up. So my second, my country third, my job fourth, and myself last. God says, you put me first, second, middle, last, beginning, ending, center, circumference. I am to be all and in all. I am to be Alpha and the Omega. I am to be the beginning and the ending. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. So, there's not going to be real victory. Elijah said, no, we're not going to sit down and compromise. We're going to haul them down to the brook, and we're going to cut their heads off, a whole bunch of them. And brother, sister, there's real blessed release when you quit trying to figure out a way of escape. Young people, I'm not going to pick on you. You see, anybody younger than myself is a young people. So I will say some of you older young people, constantly coming around, Pastor, and you have a right to. Who else are you going to ask? You can't ask dear Abby or somebody else, so you ask your pastor, and I appreciate that. But Pastor, how many sins do we have to sin before we're backslidden? How close to the world can we walk and still be saved? How many things can we endure? How many cans of beer do you have to drink before you're backslidden? How many joints of pot do you have to smoke before you're backslidden? How many women do you have to live with before you're backslidden? How much of this can I do and still stay safe? How much of the other can I do and still stay safe? That's the wrong question. That's the wrong question. The question is not, how close to the world can I walk and still be saved? The question ought to be, how far away from the things of the world can I get, and as close to the wounded, bleeding side of the Son of God can I walk? How can I let Jesus be everything in my mind, and everything in my heart, and everything in my soul? Oh, but that would cost me too much. No. You don't understand. You surrender that and give that all up to Jesus, and he takes your life and cleanses it and sanctifies it and enlarges it and polishes it all up, and he gives it back to you, and not only by itself, but he comes in along with it and says, I'll sit on the throne of your life, and instead of having a little beggarly, meagerly, miserly, self-introverted, little grubby, grimy life, he gives you an expanded fulfillment of divine holiness and life Let me tell you, there's no one that can enjoy life like a child of God. There's no one whose eyes have been touched with the scintillating eye salve of the Word of God, that our eyes are open, that we see things that we could never see before. Hallelujah! Our ears have been anointed with the ointment of the Holy Ghost, and they are open unto God, and we hear things that we've never heard before. And our lips have been touched with the live coal from off the altar, and we have been cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, and we begin to speak things that we've never spoken before. Glory to God. And our entire life is under the control of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, serving Jesus is not death. Serving Jesus is life, and that more abundantly. Hallelujah. How many have found it so? You found it so. Glory to God. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were returned to Israel. Let me tell you, anything that the devil has robbed you of, don't you listen to the lie of the devil that it's forever gone. The devil come along and tell you, well, look, you tore it, or whatever the current slang is. I shouldn't try to use the vernacular. You have forever ruined it. You have forever messed yourself up so that you can be saved, though as by fire. You can just make it into the pearly gates, but you forever, God's never going to use you. God's never going to bless you. You're never going to have anything, do anything, be anything. You're just going to be a little blob. That's all you're ever going to be. You'll be a saved blob, but that's all you're going to be, though. Just a little blob. Huh? Isn't that right? Isn't that what the devil tells? Maybe the devil never tells you that. He's got a record of 33 and a third LP that he plays in my ear all the time. Look, you had big ideas. Look at you now. You know, that's... My brother, sister, dear, I want you to know that the devil is a liar. And every city the Philistines has taken away from Israel, God Almighty can restore unto Israel. Hallelujah! Every city that he can restore unto Israel. All right? All the way from Ekron, now that's not Ohio. That was a place in Israel. Ekron, even unto Gath, and their borders. Clear out to the last degree. Now in that sense, we don't need to turn tail and run from the devil. We can go in and possess the land that he has for us. The devil says, you see all the... You see sister back there? She always gets happy and raises her hand and cries. But you sit there dry as a corn shucking, and you're never going to have the blessing. Brother can get up to the altar and pray with the sinners, and he can stain the yoke black with his tears, and the blessing of God comes, and he gets an emotional release, and the Holy Ghost comes on him. But you've sinned. You've blasphemed. You've sinned. You've entertained evil thoughts, and you've yielded yourself as an instrument to the devil, and you're going to be, if you're going to be saved at all, you're just barely going, oh, you might get a little blessing once in a while, but you're never going to have the flow and the power and the current of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, the devil's a liar. Not only will he give us back all the cities all the way from Ekron to Gath, but he'll give them clear out to the border. Hallelujah! Clear out to the sign that says you are now leaving. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Hallelujah! We can take the sword of the Spirit, and we can march in, and we can take full victory, and have the entirety of that which God has for us. And he delivered Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace, not through compromise. There was peace, not because of peaceful coexistence in daytime. There was peace because Israel stomped them clear down into the mud and they couldn't hold their head up. And brother, we got peace with ourselves and peace with our soul and peace with God, and the devil has to... Not because we've struck some kind of a covenant with him, but because my elder brother on the cross crushed his head, and we are victorious in Jesus Christ. I tried in vain 10,000 ways my fears to quell, my hopes to raise, but what I need, the Bible says, is ever only Jesus. My soul is night, my heart is steel. I cannot see, I cannot feel. For light, for life, I must appeal by simple faith to Jesus. He died, he lives, he reigns, he pleads. There's love in all his words and deeds. There's all a guilty sinner needs forevermore in Jesus. Though some should sneer and some should blame, I'll go with all my guilt and shame. I'll go to him because his name above all names is Jesus. Here I'll raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, being from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. How many would like to raise an Ebenezer here on the line?
We stand.
Father God, we take a stone of remembrance and we raise it here now. Lord, we're not pretending, we're not hypocritically trying to state something that is not true. We freely acknowledge our failure. We freely acknowledge our fall. We freely acknowledge our shortcoming. Lord, we freely acknowledge that we have not been as victorious, perhaps, as we would have liked to have been. But, oh God, even as Israel called unto Samuel and said, "Will you inquire of the Lord and call out?" And even while he offered the sacrifice, you began to discomfort the Philistines and put them to flight until the man of God could raise the stone of help and say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We're so glad, Lord, that when we were lamented after thee, when we cried after thee, that thou didst come and put the Philistines to flight. And in spite of everything, we're in the house of God today, and we're saved, and we're washed in the blood, and we're on our way to eternity." Oh God, we raise our Ebenezer hither. By thy help I've come, and we hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Keep now thy hand upon us. Lord, fill us with thy spirit. Let revival break out in unprecedented measure, and we'll thank you for it for your name's sake. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each and every one of you both now and evermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.